Good morning. It's January 21st, 2026. Here are today's top stories from Sigma Speaks. For your personalized updates, download the Sigma Speaks app. This report discusses recent changes in institutional holdings of Rhythm Capital Corporation and the company's performance. As highlighted by MarketBeat, QRG Capital Management has significantly reduced its stake in Rhythm Capital by over 63% during the third quarter, now holding just over 86,000 shares. This comes after they sold approximately 150,000 shares, valuing their remaining holdings at nearly $1 million. In contrast, other institutional players have been increasing their positions. For instance, Norges Bank made a notable investment worth around $72 million in the second quarter, while Virginia Retirement Systems added nearly $25 million to their stake as well. Additionally, State Street Corporation raised its holdings by 11.5%, now owning over 10 million shares valued at about $117 million. Analysts on Wall Street remain optimistic about Rhythm Capital, with multiple firms reiterating positive ratings. Keith, Bruett & Woods reaffirmed an outperform rating, and Piper Sandler set a target price of $15.50. Overall, the stock has an average rating of moderate buy, with a consensus price target pegged at $14.44. Trading activity has seen Rhythm Capital shares open at approximately $11.56, reflecting a slight decline of 1.7%. The stock has fluctuated between a 12-month low of $9.13 and a high of $12.74. Rhythm Capital reported earnings of 54 cents per share for the last quarter, aligning with analysts' expectations, and generated revenues of $1.11 billion, exceeding estimates. Looking ahead, the company declared a quarterly dividend of 25 cents, translating to an annual yield of 8.6%. With a dividend payout ratio of roughly 69%. Insider activity has also been notable, as the chief executive officer recently sold over 300,000 shares. Overall, Rhythm Capital appears to be navigating a complex landscape with significant institutional interest and solid earnings, yet is facing some selling pressure, as evidenced by recent insider transactions.
This report covers Urban Outfitters' recent sales performance and growth strategies. My Chesco analysis shows that Urban Outfitters Inc. has experienced notable sales growth during the late year shopping season, with total company net sales increasing by 9% compared to the same period last year. This growth is attributed to a rise in both digital and brick-and-mortar store traffic, as well as a significant boost in subscription revenue and strong results from its Free People brands. The retailer's retail segment net sales rose by 7%, with comparable retail sales up by 5%, indicating solid performance across channels. Breaking it down by brand, Urban Outfitters saw a 9% increase in comparable sales. Free People rose by 5%, and Anthropology gained 3%. Notably, the FP Movement brand experienced a remarkable 18% jump in comparable sales. Additionally, Urban Outfitters' subscription business is showing impressive growth, with net sales soaring by 43% over the two-month period, largely driven by a 41% increase in the number of active subscribers compared to last year. Wholesale net sales also rose by 13%, benefiting from increased Free People sales to department stores. Looking at the broader picture, for the 11 months ending December 31st, total net sales increased by 11%, with retail segment net sales up by 8%, and comparable retail sales rising by 6%. Subscription segment sales jumped 51% during this period, reflecting a 46% increase in average active subscribers. Moreover, Urban Outfitters continued to expand its physical presence, opening 58 new stores, including 36 Free People locations, while closing 7 locations. These results underscore the company's focus on rapidly growing concepts, subscription-driven revenue, and a strategic approach to store expansion as it enters the final stages of fiscal 2025. This report discusses the recent financial performance of Fence Holding Corporation. According to a recent report from Fiber to Fashion, the company saw its gross profit rise to approximately $36.9 million, which is about 50.4% of sales, up from $35.1 million the previous year. This improvement in profit margins was driven by reduced product costs, increased pricing, and less discounting, although they faced some challenges from tariffs and shipping costs. Selling, general, and administrative expenses also fell sharply, dropping to around $25.8 million from $34 million. This reduction was significantly aided by an employee retention credit benefit. As a result, income from operations jumped to $11.2 million, up from just $1.1 million a year ago. When excluding the credit, adjusted income from operations stood at $5.5 million. Net income soared to $12.1 million, or 93 cents per diluted share, a substantial increase from $600,000 or 5 cents per diluted share in the same quarter last year. On an adjusted basis, net income was $4.9 million, or 38 cents per share. Adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization more than doubled to $6.7 million from $2.7 million last year. However, the company did experience a net reduction in its number of stores, ending the quarter with 58 company-operated locations, down by 3. Chief Executive Officer Brendan Hoffman expressed pride in the company's second quarter performance, highlighting their ability to manage the challenges of the current economic landscape while maintaining product quality and customer loyalty. Looking at the first half of fiscal 2025, net sales fell slightly to $131.2 million compared to $133.3 million in the same period last year. Gross profit remained steady at 50.4% of sales, while net income for the half year increased to $7.3 million, or 56 cents per diluted share. For the upcoming third quarter, Vince expects net sales to remain flat or increase by up to 3% compared to the previous year. They project an adjusted operating income margin of 1-4% and an adjusted EBITDA margin of 2-5%. This guidance accounts for additional tariff costs and reflects their ongoing efforts to mitigate these impacts through vendor negotiations and pricing adjustments. Due to ongoing uncertainty regarding tariffs, the company has opted not to provide full guidance for the fiscal year. Hoffman concluded by noting their commitment to reinvesting in the business and pursuing growth opportunities for the Vince brand. This report discusses Pearson PLC's new share buyback program and its financial outlook for 2026. www.marketscreener.com recently noted that the London-based educational materials publisher is initiating a £350 million share buyback, with plans to complete the first half by late May. Citigroup Global Markets will manage this initial phase, while the second half will begin at a later date. Pearson intends to cancel all shares repurchased during the program. The company expressed optimism about its performance as it enters the year, although it anticipates a rise in interest expenses due to the funding for the buyback. Market expectations for Pearson's operating profit in 2026 have adjusted upward to £658 million, compared to £612 million for 2025. Additionally, the company forecasts organic revenue growth at constant exchange rates to be 4.8% in 2026, following a 3.8% increase in the previous year. The anticipated interest charge is expected to rise to £70 million in 2026 from £65 million in 2025. Notably, Pearson's stock price rose by 3.2% in London, although it remains down 24% over the past 12 months.
This analysis focuses on the recent stock performance and financial outlook for Sight Sciences Inc. As highlighted by Simply Wall Street, the company's shares have significantly declined, dropping by 26% over the past month, reversing much of its recent gains. However, over the last year, the stock has performed impressively, increasing by 116%. Despite the recent dip, the price-to-sales ratio for Psych Sciences stands at 4.3, which is rather high compared to the broader medical equipment sector, where many companies trade at ratios below 3.3, and some even below 1.2. This discrepancy raises questions about the sustainability of the current valuation, especially since the company's revenue has actually decreased by 4.4% in the past year. Looking at the medium-term prospects, analysts predict that Psych Sciences' revenue could grow by about 13% annually over the next 3 years. While this is a positive sign, it pales in comparison to the expected industry growth rate of 121% per year. This disparity could be leading to investor apprehension about the stock's current high price-to-sales ratio. With revenue forecasts not looking particularly strong, the elevated ratio may not be justified, and there are concerns that if business conditions do not improve, the stock price could face downward pressure. Additionally, Simply Wall Street notes that there are warning signs linked to the company's finances that potential investors should consider. In summary, while Psych Sciences has enjoyed a solid performance over the past year, recent trends and forecasts suggest that investors should proceed with caution, given the high valuation and uncertain revenue outlook. This report discusses the upcoming earnings announcement for Capital One Financial Corporation. Market observers at Finviz noted that Capital One is set to release its earnings report tomorrow after the market closes. Last quarter, the company exceeded analysts' revenue expectations by approximately 2.7%, generating revenues of about $15.46 billion, which reflects a significant year-on-year increase of 54.4%. Looking ahead, analysts are predicting that Capital One will achieve revenues of around $15.49 billion for this quarter, indicating a year-on-year growth of 52%. This would be an improvement compared to last year's 7.2% increase. In terms of profitability, adjusted earnings per share are expected to be around $4.14. Interestingly, analysts have maintained their estimates over the past month, suggesting a consistent outlook for the company as it approaches earnings. However, it is worth noting that Capital One has struggled in the past, having missed Wall Street's revenue forecasts 4 times in the last 2 years. As the first major player in the consumer finance sector to report earnings this season, Capital One's results will be closely monitored for insights into the broader industry. Despite this anticipation, stock prices in the consumer finance sector have remained stable over the last month, while Capital One stock has dropped by 7.1% during that same period. Currently, the average price target from analysts is set at $282, which is significantly higher than its current share price of $231.79. This report addresses General Motors' decision to halt its fuel cell manufacturing efforts, signaling a shift away from its hydrogen ambitions. Hydrogen Insight warns that this move marks a significant change in the company's strategy within the clean energy sector. The cessation of production is indicative of broader challenges in the hydrogen market, which has been characterized by ambitious promises but limited commercial success. As the market evolves, it will be interesting to see how other players in the industry respond and whether they can sustain their hydrogen initiatives in the face of these developments.
This report covers the recent performance of MPLXLP and analyst insights regarding its stock. Market observers at MarketBeat found that shares of MPLX reached a new 52-week high, trading as high as $57.15 before settling at approximately $55.57. This uptick is significant, given that the stock previously closed at $56.58. Analysts have mixed views on MPLX. For instance, JPMorgan Chase has maintained a neutral rating with a target price of $57, while Raymond James has downgraded the stock from outperform to market perform. On the brighter side, the Royal Bank of Canada has increased its price target from $58 to $60, supporting an outperform rating. Overall, MPLX has received a moderate buy rating, with an average target price hovering around $59. In terms of financials, NPLX recently reported earnings that exceeded expectations, posting earnings per share of $1.52, which was significantly higher than the analyst consensus of $1.07. However, revenue came in slightly below expectations at $2.95 billion, compared to a forecast of $3.16 billion. On the dividend front, MPLX recently increased its quarterly dividend to $1.76 per share, reflecting a solid annual yield of 7.7%. This indicates a strong commitment to returning value to shareholders, although the payout ratio stands at a high 91.31%. Institutional interest in MPLX remains robust, with various investors adjusting their stakes. Notably, Cobblestone Capital Advisors increased its position by 4%, while Bessemer Group and others have also made slight increases in their holdings. As MPLX continues to perform well in the energy infrastructure sector, it remains a focal point for investors looking for potential growth and reliable dividends.
This commentary focuses on Rio Tinto's assessment of its stake in Chalco and the implications for its financial positioning. MarketScreener.com analysis shows that Rio Tinto is currently evaluating how restructuring its investment in Chalco could impact its overall strategy. In recent developments, the company appears to be consolidating below a downward trend line, indicating potential challenges ahead. This pattern suggests that investor sentiment may be cautious as they weigh the company's future prospects. Additionally, Rio Tinto's ratings are derived from various composite measures, including global valuation and earnings per share revisions. These metrics provide a comprehensive view of the company's financial health and market visibility. As we look ahead, the implications of these ratings and the company's strategic moves will be critical for investors to watch closely.
That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and have a great morning.